Welcome to the Gastric Health Show, where we help you achieve the happiest and healthiest version of yourself by motivating you to eat, move, sleep, and think better. Today's show is brought to you by Gastric Health Club. Sign up now for our free 10-day Back on Track Challenge beginning September 17th. Just click on the banner on the Gastric Health Show's Facebook page. Hello and welcome to the Gastric Health Show. My name is Dawn Boxall and I am your host. Today we are back for another episode and we are covering Regain. But first and foremost, we need to kind of cover that these podcasts are not intended for medical advice. They are for educational purposes only. And we would love for you to share these podcasts with your friends and other weight loss surgery patients that are in different closed or secret Facebook groups that you feel might be beneficial to some information that they have been seeking. And we are excited that our next 30-day class will be soon here in the fall. But first, we are going to be having our free 10-day Back on Track Challenge that will begin on September 17th. So we would love for you to join us. You can go on WLSGutHealth.com and register, and we can help you get back on track and get you off of the packaged processed junk food, the sugar, the artificial sweetener. We can help you accomplish all of that. And we are excited to have that coming up here soon. So get registered for the next class. And today's topic is, are hormones to blame for Regain after weight loss surgery? So this is something that maybe is not talked a lot about, but there are some things that need to be thought about when it comes to hormones. And many times I find that in the weight loss surgery community, the talk is on ghrelin, which is your hunger hormone, and leptin, and those levels being altered. But as the research has kind of evolved, it really does show evidence of other areas that you do have to be aware of and stay on top of. And just, you know that is being evaluated. So this is something that I'm, definitely excited to share with you. And hopefully it will give you some things to think about. And if you've ever been on our website, which is WLSGutHealth.com, you have probably read a lot of information about how weight loss after weight loss surgery isn't just about the size of your pouch or just focusing on calories, eating less calories and exercising more. And we're not a pusher or believer of that. And it's a lot of the information that I've learned on topics like this. And when it comes to the world of functional medicine, which is, kind of where I have my little twist, that is definitely an area that this is highly thought of and this is highly utilized. And I always, kind of allude to this, that functional medicine has more tools in their toolbox, and this is part of it. So today we're going to cover those hormones and go into a little bit deeper detail on these, so you have some more solutions and you have some more topics that you can have conversations with your doctor on. And I do have links on the resources that I'll cover here. There'll be links to those websites and that information, that content, that will be very helpful for you. So what hormones do you have to think about? So there are four categories of hormones that I'm going to talk about. Insulin, I'm going to talk about thyroid, I'm going to talk about cortisol, and then all the sex hormones. So let's start with insulin. And insulin is something that most typically may or may not really be evaluated by your family doctor. Most typically, you're going to have to ask for that lab to be drawn. Unless you have diabetes or, you know, metabolic syndrome or something in that area that, or they think that you might, then that would be why they would be checking that. But this also can help you understand what's happening with your foods and your food choices and what's happening with why you're gaining weight. Or you're not able to lose weight, or we'll call it weight loss resistance. So when your insulin is the ideal reference range, or the ideal range for insulin is 2 to 5. And the reference range will go up to 10. So some doctors will let you go up to 10, but that's not ideal. Ideal is more 2 to 5 in the functional medicine world. That's where we want that insulin to be between 2 and 5. If it's above that, then your body is starting to store more fat. And usually it's in the middle. So in your belly or your abdomen area, the midline, that's where you'll find that you're carrying more fat. And it can also, just by having your insulin higher, it can cause more inflammation in your body. And you can know if you have inflammation in your body by checking a lab called CRP, which is your C-reactive protein. And that can, you know, give you evidence if there's inflammation that's, you know, contributing. Anytime you gain weight in the middle, though, you're automatically increasing inflammation. And it's just all kind of a vicious cycle. So it's something that it's good to evaluate. And it's giving you information saying, I'm eating too many sugars and carbs. Because what happens is when your pancreas has to put out insulin because of all the glucose or sugar or carbs that you're eating, and it is being overworked. And so those excess sugar and carbs that you're eating is causing that insulin to continue to rise. So that's where you want to make sure that you are changing the foods that you're eating, but you're monitoring it, making sure that you're in that 2 to 5 reference range. So definitely work with your practitioner and getting those levels checked, your insulin or your CRP, especially if you've regained weight. And then you're going to know, oh gosh, my health is being impacted. And until I get those numbers down, I'm probably not going to see the weight loss results that I want. So make sure you're checking those, or you're having your doctor check those. Then the next one is your thyroid. So this, I will say, is very interesting. I see a lot of weight loss surgery patients that come back very symptomatic for this. And I can tell you this from a personal level. This is a personal experience that I had that led me into functional medicine. And it's mainly because I went for so many years undiagnosed, you know, going to my doctor, getting the blood test that I'm supposed to be getting, but I wasn't doing my part. I wasn't asking for the results. I was relying on them and trusting them to be treating me appropriately and looking at the levels correctly. But I just didn't know. And it took me a long time with symptoms just getting worse and worse. And everything's good. Everything is fine. And I'm just like, no, but it's really not fine. And so it wasn't until I found a functional medicine practitioner that I was able to get all of the testing completed, that then I really found the evidence that I was hypothyroid. So you'll find at the bottom of this podcast, there's going to be a link for an article, and it's written by Aviva Ram. I love her article because it goes into detail about how to get the correct testing and what should be tested. And she, I actually saw her at a conference several years ago, and she was fabulous to see in person. But then this article popped up a few years later, on a website that I am, you know, get newsletters from on hypothyroidism. And this audience is, blog has a huge audience, so she attracts pretty high profile practitioners to post on her blog. And Dr. Aviva Ram posted, and she actually is so super smart. She was actually in college at 15 and has a very unique, path that she took, but she ended up graduated from Yale Medical School. I don't know what year, but it was after she had done some other things. And so she's very smart, but she's very good at, you know, explaining how we should be testing and what parameters, what reference ranges you should be following. And I will encourage patients to talk to their family doctor or find a practitioner, get with a functional medicine practitioner to listen to them and treat them based on what their symptoms are and looking at the blood work together. And that's what this article will do. It will help you identify kind of those reference ranges, the sweet spot for you so that you feel good. So I would say that's the most important thing. If you're having issues with weight gain, but then you're also, you know, you're having hair loss, you're constipated, you're tired all the time, your nails are really brittle and soft and weak, and you just have kind of some of those signs, just Google it. You can see all the signs for hypothyroidism if you Google it. And if you have a few of those, then I would just have the conversation with your doctor and say, okay, can we test my thyroid to make sure that it's okay? And most practitioners are going to, they rely on the TSH or the thyroid stimulating hormone, but you also have to have the full thyroid panel. And if you read the article by Aviva Ram, she goes into detail on that, so you know exactly what to expect and what which labs should be on this full panel. So some of the things that can impact your thyroid that you may not think about, but this will help you kind of, you know, build your lifestyle and your choices so that it protects it. So stress can alter your thyroid levels and lead you to hypothyroid if it's not under control, if it gets out of control. And that is something that I have to watch. My functional medicine doc watches, and that is something that we watch every 3 months for me. And we know where my levels are because we stay on top of my cortisol and then my DHEA. And we're making sure that, I'm keeping my stress in check because that's going to impact my effectiveness of the thyroid medicine getting into my cells or having enough of them. And then another thing that can impact your thyroid is heavy metals. So having excess heavy metals in your body can prevent you from having the thyroid level where it should be. And the other thing is nutrient deficiencies. So you got to think of vitamin D, selenium, zinc, iodine, and the omega-3 fatty acids. All those can, if they're deficient, can cause problems with your thyroid. So vitamin D, I would say most weight loss surgery patients are taking some extra vitamin D that is outside of what's already in your multivitamin and your calcium, because that is important. And it does depend on what your level is, and it does depend on where you live, because of the amount of sunshine that you're exposed to and how well your body is converting that. Because some people genetically do not absorb and convert the vitamin D. So you may get adequate sunshine and you may take vitamins well, but genetically your body cannot do well with it. So that's where you got to make sure those levels are checked and that you're taking those D so it's not low. The other one is selenium. This one, I always think of Brazil nuts. So this is something that you can eat. It's like 4 to 6 a week, Brazil nuts, and you'll get enough selenium and potentially enough iodine, but maybe not 100% all the iodine, but you'll at least get some. Then the other thing is zinc, and that you can think of pumpkin seeds. So making sure if you're having nuts and seeds that you include pumpkin seeds in that, because that will give you plenty of zinc. And then iodine, this you can be low in because of excess fluoride and chlorine. So think of your water. So if your municipal water supply is not great, if you live in an area where they don't have, you know, great water, and they're having to use a lot of chlorine, or they add a lot of fluoride to the water, that could be impacting your iodine level, which would then impact your thyroid. So iodine comes from iodized salt, but if you don't consume a lot of that, that would interfere. Then also it comes from seaweed, those type of things. Most of us don't eat that. I know at different times I have had to take iodine supplements to help support my thyroid. So that may be a thing that is necessary too if you talk to your practitioner. And then the omega-3 fatty acids. I will say this one is really hard for most people to get by diet because you need about 12 ounces of fatty fish a week to meet your omega-3 fatty acid requirements. So most of us probably don't eat that much, but if you do a fatty fish, awesome. Just keep doing it. If you don't, then I would say fish oil should be your friend and start taking some fish oil every day. Something that you will want to think about that you may not like to think about is, but there is some evidence, quite a bit of it, the gluten interferes with your body's ability to process the thyroid very well. So that, you know, gluten intolerance can definitely make a big factor in your thyroid being normal. So this is something that I'm really good at, and I like avoiding gluten because it helps manage my thyroid better. So if I manage my stress better, and if I'm avoiding gluten like I should, then my thyroid stays right where it should be. And then the only thing that you have to watch, and since I'm a big proponent of vegetables, especially those cruciferous vegetables, really monitoring how much raw cruciferous vegetables you get. So I love for you to eat them, but not in the raw form. So when you're doing smoothies, I would not put a ton of kale into my smoothie. I would probably go with spinach or cilantro or parsley or arugula. I would probably pick some of those greens to be in, or mustard greens or something would be fine in your smoothie. If you think you have thyroid disease, or if you already do have thyroid disease, I would not put so much in those smoothies. And then if I'm going to have kale, I'm going to saute it, or I'm going to make it into kale chips, and that helps. So you just have to watch your intake and make sure that it's not excess. You're not doing a lot of it every day. So that kind of covers the insulin and the thyroid. So the next is cortisol, which is your stress hormone. And stress can be anything real, a real stressor, like you have a gun being pointed at your head, or it can be an imagined stress where you think your boss doesn't like you, or you think that your kids are getting in trouble, or that your spouse is, doesn't like you, or any of those type of things, those imagined that we kind of formulate in our brain, that we kind of let our thoughts take over. So it could be anything that's real or imagined threat to your body or your ego that you feel like you have control over, you don't. So that doesn't matter. However you perceive it is the reality of what's happening in your body. And that will raise your cortisol level and if left untreated, it will then lead to higher blood sugars. It will lead to belly fat. It will increase your blood pressure. It will increase your cholesterol. And then it also causes you to lose muscle. So those are things that stress is pretty powerful in. And it also, you know, contributes to weight gain. So because it's causing all these imbalances. So you have to remember that you got to get good at managing your stress all the time. And we can't control the stress that we are given, but we can control how we react to it. So make sure that you are working hard at doing some meditations. I really do like the Stop, Breathe, and Think app. It's a free app that does some meditations, with you so that you kind of get that stress hormone, that fight or flight mode down, and that you can manage your stress better. You can work on your thinking so that you don't let your thoughts get out of control. The 30-day class, I would highly recommend our 30-day class. We have a whole week on this and helping you improve your thoughts and your thinking overall, because we go into detail of how it's so powerful in your weight and how you maintain your ability to maintain your weight. So I would highly recommend that the 30-day class, if you really want to get to the root and get some solutions to help you overcome this whole issue of stress. And then yoga. Yoga is awesome that it really does shut off that fight or flight mode and can really change your brain. There's really cool research on this and evidence showing that it can decrease your stress by doing, one yoga routine. So try to think outside the box, especially if you're a man. Don't be afraid of doing yoga. My husband loves to do yoga and enjoys the abilities that it provides for him, because it allows him to strengthen but yet stretch those muscles so that he is more flexible. And as we get older, it is something that you have to think about. We have to be able to care for ourselves as we get older. And that's, being able to get up out of a chair and go to the bathroom on our own and just cook for ourselves and have that range of motion and flexibility that we lose as we age. So yoga is great for that. So not only is it going to shut down the stress, it's going to help improve your flexibility for as you age. So definitely paying attention to your stress levels so that cortisol is not too high. I know when I get mine checked, it's I'm usually a normal to high normal is where I fall. So I have to be careful every 3 months that I'm really paying attention to my stress level and making sure that those numbers aren't getting to the high. It'll be high normal, but it's above the normal is where I got to keep it out of. So that's, I have to work hard at it. I'm just not great at it. And some of that is my genetics and how things, my body's ability to do things is not great. So if I don't have all the support there, then it makes it hard for me to do that, my body to do that. So that is something you got to think about, because that is going to put pounds on you. So if stress is out of control, you got to think about, okay, is my blood sugar increasing? My blood pressure is, the belly fat that's accumulating because of stress and nothing else. And that's what you have to know. Or is all this stress leading to your thyroid being off? And then if it's accumulating fat around your midsection, is it is it causing your insulin to be higher? So it's like you can start seeing, hopefully, that these are all connected. And when one is off, then you're going to easily get these other hormones off and out of balance. And that's what your body doesn't like. It doesn't like to be out of balance. And then the last one is sex hormones. So think of like your estrogen, your progesterone, your testosterone. All those, we all have those, whether we're male or female. It's just females have more estrogen and males have more testosterone. So that is kind of the differentiating factor between males and females when it comes to the sex hormones. But many people don't realize, especially weight loss surgery patients, I find they don't understand the connection, because conventionally it really hasn't been looked at this way. In functional medicine, this is a very known and well-known thing to monitor and really know, have options to help. So excess estrogen will really increase your cravings for sugar, refined carbs, and even alcohol. So those three things, when your estrogen is rising and getting out of normal reference ranges, you may find it nearly impossible to stop eating the sweets or the carbs or the junk, or quit drinking alcohol. And then it just feeds on it. So the more alcohol you drink, the higher your estrogen goes. And it just keeps going and going. And the more you crave the alcohol, the more you drink it. And the more you drink it, the more you raise your estrogen. And it's a vicious, vicious cycle. So you can see how weight loss surgery patients can easily get addicted to alcohol, or at least I can, especially for females. Or if a male, if their estrogen level is too high, maybe that could be a contributor. I don't know. And I don't know that that's the root cause of why alcohol is such an issue with weight loss surgery patients. But I would love to do a research study on this for sure. I was talking to our nurse practitioner about that this last week at work, and she was like, oh my gosh, that would be an awesome study to do, because it is such an issue for our patients. So just know that if you are really craving those carbs and those sugars and the alcohol, that you need to get your estrogen checked. You need to have those levels evaluated. How do you know if your estrogen is elevated? For females, it can be breast tenderness, fluid retention, really bad PMS. You have fibroids, or heavy menstrual cycles, or heavy menstrual bleeding. And for men, it's more of you lose body hair, and you have kind of that beer belly, and you start having man boobs, and you start aging really fast. So those are kind of some signs of too much estrogen in your system. And that can totally put pounds on you. And I've lived this myself. I'm 49 and a half. Oh, that's scary to say. And so perimenopause is here, and I will say that excess estrogen easily put last year 10 to 15 pounds on me, just like that, out of the blue. It was just like I had all these crazy, crazy symptoms. And I'm emailing my doctor. I'm like, okay, here's my list of symptoms. And she's like, I think it's your estrogen. So we did some blood tests, and we're like, yep, it had jumped 200 points. And I had all that. I had all those symptoms. And it was really weird, because we were on vacation, and I don't drink, you know, even every week alcohol, but we were on vacation and we were drinking, I don't want to say every day, but pretty close to every day. And it was weird. My alcohol tolerance was different. It was higher. I could drink more alcohol, and I didn't feel that I was having the same, it wasn't, how do I want to say it? I was definitely intoxicated, but I didn't feel I was intoxicated. So It was a weird experience, and that was estrogen. Estrogen was allowing me to consume more alcohol and not feel like I was having the same effects. So it's very scary. It's a very scary place to be. And so, you know, I just had, went back to not drinking alcohol because it was just too scary to me to have that feeling of, you know, you always knew when to stop. It was like you have a few drinks over several hours and it's like you were able to drink it faster. So it was weird. It was just the craziest thing. But, you know, if you don't know those connections, how would you know to ask your doctor to check those things? So that will make a huge difference. So you're going to put on pounds if you're, you know, eating more of the sugar and refined carbs and the alcohol. You're going to put on pounds. So you need to pay attention to what your body's telling you. If you are having breast tenderness and you are having horrible PMS and heavy menstrual cycles, there's a reason. Something is off. So that's where you've got to get the right testing done. Also, low testosterone can cause weight gain. And ironically, a couple weeks ago, I had a patient that she'd come back in because she's trying to get back on track. So I scheduled her for 2 weeks after our initial visit to kind of see where she was in the process of getting her plan and program in place. And we got off on a topic of hormones, and she said, well, over a year ago, I was diagnosed with low testosterone. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that causes weight gain right there. Because she had put on, I want to say, 20 pounds in a really short amount of time. And she really hadn't changed much. Now, I don't know what her estrogen was, so maybe she didn't feel like she was eating those things, but she was. But when your testosterone is low, it will make you put the pounds on. So that's something you've got to think about, is making sure that those hormones are at the right levels that they're supposed to be. So definitely getting with a healthcare practitioner that will listen to you, listen to your symptoms, and do the right testing will help you really, you know, kind of evaluate where you're at your baseline with where you're struggling. The next thing to think about is gut imbalances. That can totally mess up your sex hormones, and you can, have gut imbalances in those alone. Certain bacteria in your gut will actually increase the quickness of absorption of estrogen. So beta-glucuronidase is one that it will increase the absorption of estrogen. So for me, that was one thing that was elevated, and we had to fix that problem so that my estrogen could get in control, because that was contributing to it. So it's a whole package deal. You've got to look at your whole body. It's not just one thing, and not just one pill is going to fix it all. You got to change your diet. You got to change your lifestyle. And then you got to add some supplements if needed, which we did. You know, there's some very powerful in my book. They work very powerfully for me in my getting rid of the estrogen. There are supplements you can take that will help get rid of the estrogen faster, so that it will support you during that time. Because sometimes that's hard to make those changes when everything's so out of balance and so out of whack. So getting your gut back in balance and getting on the right types of probiotics and doing the right thing and addressing a leaky gut if you have one, that will make a huge difference in those gut imbalances, improving that. And then the last one in your sex hormones is genetically how you detoxify them. So some people will not detoxify estrogen well. Their body genetically cannot get rid of it. It doesn't have the right amount. How do I want to say this simply? It's you're out of balance in that. So you genetically cannot remove the estrogen as quickly as you need to. Some people remove it really rapidly. So they might have issues with low estrogen, and then other people remove it slowly, and so they get a buildup of estrogen. So they've got to support that detoxification in order for that estrogen to leave. So you have to really pay attention to your symptoms, partner with a really good practitioner that's going to listen to you, and that you can, you know, talk to them, go to a visit or email or text or however you can communicate with them on your symptoms so that they know what labs to check. And that's where I would say functional medicine really just, they kill it. They are the leader in this because they know what to order. And if you haven't ever gone to a functional medicine practitioner, I would strongly urge you to find one, because they will really help balance this whole picture. So insulin, thyroid, cortisol, and all your sex hormones, they look at that whole package and they treat you as a whole person, as it all works as one system, not as, okay, I'm going to send you away to a counselor for your high stress, and I'm going to send you to an endocrinologist for your thyroid, and then I'm going to, and for your insulin. For your insulin and your thyroid, you're going to go see an endocrinologist. And then for your sex hormones, I'm going to send you to an OBGYN. No. If you go to a functional medicine doctor, guess what? They can do the whole thing as a family practice doctor. That's all mine is. Mine is a family practice doctor, and she does the whole package deal. We watch my insulin. We watch my thyroid. We watch my cortisol and all my stress hormones and my sex hormones. We watch all that. So get with a functional medicine practitioner if what you're doing is not working. If your conventional doctor is, awesome. That is, you are very fortunate that they will look at this whole package. They will look at your insulin, your thyroid, your stress hormones, and all your sex hormones, because that is not very typical these days. So hopefully I have given you guys some things to think about with the hormone area. And I will tell you, if you put on pounds, 20 pounds pretty quickly within a few months, and you really didn't feel like significant things changed, I would encourage you to get with a good health practitioner and really look at these areas of your hormones as a potential driver. Maybe it won't be the thing, but maybe it could be the thing. I don't know. But I want you to think about it. I want you to explore all your options and rule these out. It's too simple to do some blood tests and figure out if this is not the problem or not for you. So I hope this helps. Please share this podcast with any of your friends or any other groups that maybe, they're dealing with Regain and they're just not getting the results that they thought they would, or they had weight loss surgery and they really didn't lose much weight. They just never got much off. It could be some of these hormones. So share it with all those people and your friends so that they have the ideas and some topics to have conversations with their doctors on that can get them going down the right path so that they can get the results that they were hoping for after weight loss surgery. So you guys have a great week, and we will see you soon. Bye-bye.